Still singing in heaven. There's a glimpse of that eternal praise for us now. Well, we're coming back this evening to the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I'd like us to look tonight at verses 12 to 14. And I was asked for a title for tonight's sermon. If you want to know the title, it is The Secret of Spiritual Stamina. The Secret of Spiritual Stamina. Those of you who were here this morning will recall that the Apostle Paul in this chapter has set out the way to spiritual gain and to heavenly joy. And that way is not through our own good deeds. It's not through religious activity. It's not through anything that we do. It's through Jesus Christ and what he has done. And so by putting all of our trust in him, we receive from Christ the gain of justification, that we're declared righteous by God through the blood of Christ, and the gain of sanctification, that Christ is making us holy like himself, and the gain of glorification, the expectation, the certainty of our bodies being raised and our souls transformed to live with Christ forever. We received those gains on the day that we first believed in the Lord Jesus. That justification and that sanctification and glorification, they became ours that very moment that we came to faith. And so they are in our possession now. They're safe in our bank account, to return to the illustration of this morning. But at the same time, it is also true that we don't have full access to those riches yet. We can't withdraw them and enjoy them in all their fullness until the last day, until the day when Christ returns to this world and brings time to an end. It's only then that we will be finally and demonstrably justified before all of heaven and earth. It's only then that our souls will be made perfect in holiness and our bodies raised up in glory. And so that's why Paul says in the 12th verse, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He's saying, not yet, I haven't yet reached that final state of fulfillment that I am heading towards. To get to that state, we need to carry on laying hold of Christ by faith. It's not a one-off thing. We need to carry on trusting him instead of ourselves. We need to carry on following him to that point of completion. You may have noticed that Paul has changed illustration now. He's taken us out of the bank and down the road to the sports stadium. And he's saying to us, you see, getting hold of these spiritual gains is like running a marathon. It's a long, hard slog, and it isn't over till you reach the finish line. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but, he says, but I press on. I keep going. I keep on running. That's the illustration. What does it mean in practice for the Christian? What do we actually do? Well, just take a look back at verse 10, which we touched on this morning. For the Christian, what it means is, the Christian life means getting to know Jesus, getting to know him better and better. And it means living out the new life that he's given to us through his resurrection. And it means sharing in his suffering, taking up our cross to follow him. You see what Paul's saying then? He's saying, what the Lord is saying to us through the Apostle Paul, that we cannot just sit pretty and wait for heaven. It doesn't work that way. Heaven is for those who persevere. You might know early on in the book of Revelation, there are seven letters from Christ to seven churches. And there are themes that run through all of them. There's the promise of reward, but there's the question of who will receive those rewards. Who is it who will eat of the tree of life? Who is it who will not be hurt by the second death? Who is it who will be clothed with white garments and sit with Christ on his throne? And again, Christ tells us it is he who overcomes. He who overcomes. And so, yes, it's a lifelong struggle to lay hold of these gains. We need to keep on seeking Jesus in his word so that we love and know him more. We need to keep on turning away from our so-called goodness and lean on Christ and his goodness instead. We need to keep on resisting temptation and choosing holiness and keep on trusting Christ even while we suffer for him. And we have to do that today. And we have to do it tomorrow. And all through this week, we need to run this race every day until at last we reach that heavenly perfection and we can enjoy our gospel treasures to the full. So, is the Christian life easy? Well, you go and ask an athlete, is running a marathon easy? Is it a simple thing? No, of course not. And the following Christ is exhausting. It is back-breaking work at times. It will push your soul to the limits of what you can endure. There will be days when you feel that you just can't go a step further. That you simply cannot carry on trusting and praying and suffering and serving for another hour, let alone the rest of your life. You feel it's going to break you. So how then are you ever going to make it? How will you get to the finish line of heaven? Well, I'm no sportsman, but sportsmen speak very often of the key of motivation. That they need this inner motivation to force themselves forward when everything inside them just wants to give up. Is there any motivation for the Christian to carry on in this life of following the Lord Jesus Christ? Where can we find that motivation? Well, I can give you the answer in two words. In Jesus. The Lord Jesus, he knows our weakness. He knows how easily we'll give up. And so in his grace, he's given to us here three thoughts to hold in our mind as we run this race. Three thoughts which will spur us to keep on pressing forward today. So I'd like to bring you these three motivations this evening. They are the source of your strength, the direction of your focus, and the splendour of your prize. And that's where we'll be heading in the rest of our time then. First of all, the source of your strength. If you think back, you'll be able to remember a time, I expect, when the gains of the gospel were beyond your grasp. Even your best efforts to please the Lord, they, as we saw this morning, were actually losses because they were all done in sin. So in the picture of the marathon, what you were actually doing was running backwards, further away from the end. You were running away from God's blessing at that time. But something changed, didn't it? In verse 12, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This is talking about that time in your life when the Lord Jesus Christ came and he grabbed you by the collars, if you like, and he shook you up and he brought you to your senses. He showed you how things really were, how helpless you were to save yourself. And how he's the only way to know God's favour. And in his sovereign grace, he led you to give up your own works and to trust in his completed work, his death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb. And that is when these heavenly gains were poured into your account. That's when Christ dragged you to the start line and pointed you to the prize which is yours in him. Do you see then? It was Christ who laid hold of you. It was Christ who entered you into this race with his gracious, irresistible grip. He hasn't let go of you yet, has he? And he isn't going to. Having brought you this far, the Lord Jesus is not going to let you go. He's going to do whatever it takes to get you to the end. That's the confidence that we have because of this. A number of years ago, maybe 5 years, something like that, the London Marathon was taking place. And some of you might remember this. It was featured a lot in the news. There was one runner. His name was David Wyatt from Manchester. And he ran well, but about 200 metres from the end, he just collapsed. His knees gave in. He was down on the ground. He couldn't go another step further. And then another contestant, a man named Matthew Rees, he came up from behind and he saw the man lying there and he picked him up. He lifted him. And he said, "You will do this." And he put him up on his shoulder, sort of had him hanging there. And he half carried and half dragged this man across the finish line. That's the Lord Jesus Christ for you, if you're a Christian. It's a perfect picture, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus, having laid hold of you and having set you running, he is not going to drop you to the floor. He's not going to leave the race half finished in your case. We're told in the first chapter of this book, chapter 1, verse 6, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus." And so the Saviour is promising to hold you up every day. He's going to give you his strength to lean on as you go forward step after step until you do take hold of the prize at the last day. Is that not an encouragement to carry on?
Yes.
Thank you. when your faith is weak and flagging and your spiritual muscles are failing, and we feel that way at times, don't we? At those times, you can look to this mighty Saviour. He has run the race already. He's completed the course. And he's determined to see you succeed as well. And he'll always give his grace to help you and support you and empower you to keep you going to the end. So let that truth drive you forward today and tomorrow. Christ himself is the source of your strength. Well, here's another great motivation from the gospel. The direction of your focus. That's our next heading tonight. The direction of your focus. I think we're often tempted in our Christian life to look back at that corner where we stumbled, that pothole where we fell. We remember far too often what we were like before we were saved, and feel ashamed all over again. We bring to mind sins that we've committed as a Christian even, and we're paralyzed with regret. We can be haunted by those times when our faith has failed and we feel that guilt still weighing us down. Where does the athlete look when they're running? Do they look back? Well, if they look back, they'll only slow down, they'll drift, they'll trip, they'll fall. A good runner keeps their eyes fixed on the track in front and on the finish line ahead. And that's what we must do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you must realise this, that Jesus has forgiven your failings of yesterday. If you brought them to him in true repentance, then he has dealt with those things forever. They're gone, as far as the east is from the west. And he calls you to follow him today. That's where you're to fix your attention, single-mindedly. Like Paul does in toward the end of verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So yes, learn from them, but don't dwell on them, don't be burdened by them. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Look ahead. Now, what lies ahead of you between here and the finish line? What is there in store for you in the rest of this course? What trials are there lying ahead? What frustrations or troubles or pains? Maybe you can see them coming. You could answer that directly, but maybe you can't. But they are coming, you can be sure of that. That it's not going to be easy the rest of this race. And you mustn't shrink back. You need to face up to these difficulties. You need to reach forward to them in the apostles' language. Reach forward. Prepare to approach them in a Christ-like manner. Because it is Christ himself who is bringing you into these hardships and these struggles. He's leading you this way. He's called you down this path. And he's doing it for one very clear purpose and a glorious purpose. Back to verse 10 again. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, his new life at work in my soul, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. His death. Do you see those troubles that lie ahead of you, or maybe you're right in the middle of them now? They are the means that Christ will use to bring you closer to himself, so that you'll know more of his presence, so that you'll know more of his holiness, that you can be made more like him, so that you can share with him ultimately in the resurrection from the dead. And that will keep you going, won't it? That knowledge. If you fix your attention on knowing Christ better and on being conformed to him in his holiness, and will that not keep you going through those trials? Are you ready to stop looking back on the failures of the past? They'll only discourage you. They'll only slow you down. Will you look instead to the course that lies ahead and the certainty of the presence of the Lord Jesus with you as you go that way? Christ himself must be the direction of your focus. And then one third motivation for you tonight to press on, and that's the splendour of your prize. This marathon that we're running, it's a bit different from most others in that there isn't one single winner. Victory in this race, it just means getting to the end. And when you've crossed the finishing line, you'll be called up onto the platform to receive your reward in front of the whole crowd. What that means for us then is when you have persevered through this life, and when you stand before the Lord at last, that is when, according to verse 14, you'll hear the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's taking that scene from the arena again, from the stadium, before the countless souls that are gathered around God's throne. Your Saviour, you'll hear your Saviour calling out your name, your own name. And he'll call you up to himself and say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And that's when these gains of the gospel will be yours in all their fullness. They'll be there in your hands at last. Your justification will be confirmed, your righteousness made manifest for all to see. human beings, all of the spiritual powers that exist in the universe, in the spiritual realm, all will see that God holds nothing against you. But rather, in Jesus, you are good and right and perfect before him. And on that day, you will know entire sanctification. No more bit by bit. No more slow growth and two steps forward and one step back. No, it won't be like that. You'll know then what it is to be perfectly holy. Never an evil desire in your mind. Never an unworthy thought in your heart. Can you even imagine it? And you'll experience then your ultimate glorification. Your broken body that now suffers with so many pains and illnesses and difficulties, that body will be raised up to life in perfect health, in full strength, full of energy and life, united with your soul, free from all the effects of sin, and ready to live with God in a world without sin. Is this not what you're looking for, brothers and sisters? Aren't these the things that you desire more than anything else in this world? These are the prizes that lie ahead of us. Are they not more valuable to you than any earthly riches, any earthly comfort or health or popularity? Well, they're yours. These things are yours. These treasures, they belong to you in Christ Jesus because he himself is your prize. And they aren't far away. Not much longer. Can you see them there? They're in the distance still, but can you see them? These treasures are glittering before you now. And they're coming closer. You're coming closer to them every day. They are yours to take hold of. If you'll just press on. Keep on running. Keep on striving. Spurred on by this prospect, by the splendour of your prize. Sometimes we think about this completely the wrong way. The mark of spiritual health is not that you have stopped running because you think you've made it. That means failure. That means you stop halfway along the course. Now, the mark of spiritual health is that you keep on pressing forward because you know you haven't made it yet. Like the apostle, I've not already attained. It's because you know there's still more progress to be made. There's more holiness to be attained, more trials to bear, more service to render. And you trust in Jesus as you go. Remember, he's not against you in this race. He's not there willing you to fail. It's quite the opposite. Sometimes we find ourselves thinking that way. But no, it is Christ who set you running when he called you to faith. And it's Christ who keeps you running in his strength, by his grace. And it's Christ who will be there waiting for you at the finish line to present you with your eternal reward. So at those times when you're feeling weary in the Christian life, I would urge you to turn back to Philippians 3. I would urge you to just dwell on these truths that we've looked at tonight to help to build up your spiritual stamina as you press on towards the goal. Keep your eyes fixed in only one place, on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he himself is the source of your strength. And he is the direction of your focus. And he himself is the splendor of your prize. Amen.